All right, good evening, saints. You can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And continuing working through the book of Corinthians and the working through Mr. Luke Wilson's study notes from a few years back, we're going to continue in that. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we're starting this new chapter here, but we'll be hearkening back to a couple of things at the end of chapter 3 here. But 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 1 through 5. It says, "Let a man regard us in this manner, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. But to me, it is a very small thing that I may be examined by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even examine myself, for I am conscious of nothing against myself, yet I am not by this acquitted. But the one who examines me is the Lord. Therefore, do not go on passing judgment, before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts. And then each man's praise will come to him from God." Let's have a word of prayer. Father God, we do appreciate you and all that you have done and continue to do for us in our lives. We appreciate your words of truth that give us direction and tell us who we are. And as we look at these verses tonight, to help us to remember that you have made us servants and stewards. And as such, as we serve Christ, as followers of Christ, we were reminded of all that you have done and to make it possible for this to happen. We're grateful for the blessings that we have in Christ, too numerous to really talk about in one setting. So we're grateful for Jesus, and we pray for his triumphant return. In fact, we hasten it. So may we be encouraged this evening through these verses, and may we be edified in through them. We pray and give thanks in Christ's name. Amen. All right. So as we wrapped up, last time I was up, working through in 1 Corinthians, we were talking about, we are the temple of God. And, to build the temple well, we individually and collectively are the temple of God. And so it's important for us to build well. And but previously, in some of the earlier verses, Paul is writing to the people in Corinth, because of the divisions in the factions that are there. And he's reminding them, because they were saying, "I am of Paul and I am of Apollos." Clear divisions within the congregation. And Paul says, "But who is Paul? Who is Apollos?" Paul didn't, and we brought this up previously, Paul didn't have a problem. Apollos didn't have the problem. The problem was with the people, right? And so we brought out that the Lord wants unity in his church. It's pretty important for the success of the church is that we be unified in Christ. And so that's what the Lord wants. He wants one body, and he demands one church, okay? And so one way to keep the unity for us, brethren, is to remember the objective. Remember our purpose in Christ. Why are we appointed this work of service? What is the mission? And Paul uses himself as examples. And back in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5, he says, "What then is Apollos and what is Paul but servants through whom you believed," right? They're servants. And we, as followers of Christ, we as Christians, we proclaim Christ to the world, right? What are we? We're servants. And so this came out a little bit in our class recently on worship. You know, if we worship God, we will serve God. And we brought that out. And so, in verse 6, he said, of chapter 3, he says, I planted, Apollos watered, and God was causing the growth. God gets all the glory. Okay? God is the one to receive the glory. We are just stewards of the mysteries of God, is what these verse 1 says. And so we're going to break that down. One of the biggest things in the life of a Christian, brethren, is who do we serve? Who do we work for? That's in the physical and the spiritual. We have to, a lot of times, you know, what life throws at us, we have to remember that. Because it's easy to get a bad attitude, isn't it? It is for me. And I have to go back and remember, who do I serve? Who do I work for? And so oftentimes when you talk to people and you meet people for the first time and you're getting to know each other, a lot of times they'll tell you what they do. Like, what type of work do they do? Or, you know, what they enjoy about their job, or how long they've been at their job. And, okay, well, I asked about you. What's, you know, and that's often how their response is their identity is related to the work that they do. And, you know, I catch myself doing that as well. But the what we have to remember is that our work that we do in this physical existence, the work that we do for incomes, does not make our identity. Christ gives us our identity. And so if we have that perspective right, then our purpose will be, will follow suit. Okay? But Paul is reminding us, you know, who we work for in these verses, right? He's reminding us of who we serve. He says, we're Christians. We're followers of Christ, right? Servants of Christ. And we are in this world. We're certainly here. We got stuff we need to do. But Mr. Schaefer brought out the point real well. That's not our purpose. We have to do those things because we have responsibilities, but that cannot be our focus. Our focus is Christ. As servants of Christ, we are in this world, but we're not of it. And so we're reminded from the class on worship as well that we're sons and daughters of God. God the Almighty. You know, we're adopted sons, Abba, Father, you know. So we're in what was brought out as well. We're citizens of heaven. Okay? But we need to have that heavenly focus. And so, but we do have responsibilities in this world. It's actual scriptural. You know, we have those responsibilities, and God wants us to be good stewards of those things. We have to provide for our families. We have to take care of certain things. We got to pay our taxes, right? We got to be support of our country, right? And be the good worker bees that we're supposed to be, okay? But how we make that income does not define us. And so ultimately, what he's saying is here is that we have to remember who we work for. We have to remember that we work for God. And so we'll look at that verse. But it's easy when we're working for bosses and we're working with other coworkers and different things. A lot of things can rub us the wrong way, maybe. And sometimes it can affect our attitude. We have to remember in those moments that we work for God, that we work for the Lord. And so it was brought out, well, this morning, you know, we all have talents. God has given us specific talents, different things that we're all able to do. Some of us are good at plumbing. Some of us are good at construction. Some of us are good at computer engineering. Some of us are good at digging ditches, right? Some of us are good at flipping burgers. Some of us are good at eating burgers, okay? We all have different strengths and we have different weaknesses. But God has placed those gifts just as he needs them. We have those gifts for his purpose, okay? And so it's important that we understand that, but our identity comes from Christ, okay, as servants of Christ. And so sometimes, you know, people at work can rub us the wrong way. At least that's been my experience. You know, that guy's a Christian. He's, you know, Oh, those Bible thumpers. Ugh. You know. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, though. That's their problem, right? That's not my problem. I'm just being who I am, right? I'm a servant of Christ. And I'm excited to be a servant of Christ. But the question that comes up into my mind, do your coworkers know that you're a Christian? Do they know that you're a Christian based on your interaction with them? That should ring true in all that we do. You know, let man regard us in this manner, servants of Christ, right? We want to be regarded as servants of Christ. And so, you know, that's not our industry, or that's not our occupation. That's who we are, right? We go to work to get a paycheck because that's the work that we chose to do to exchange our time for money. That's not who we are. Okay? We let man regard us in this manner is who we are, servants of Christ. Okay? So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll try to work through these real quick in the effort of getting everyone out of here quickly this evening. And, my Ephesians just flew out of my Bible. Okay. No, thankfully, but it's very old. Ephesians chapter 6, you know, work does bring some difficult challenges for us sometimes. You know, in the workforce, those that we work with can, as I mentioned, can be kind of cruel, can kind of mistreat us sometimes. You know, being Christian is becoming more and more of an accepted thing in some circles, and others not so much. But we all have coworkers that sometimes we just don't see eye to eye with. Some of us have had bad bosses. I've had good bosses and bad bosses both. Some of us have lost jobs because of a bad boss, right? And so we have to ask ourselves the question when we get up and go to work, what do we go to achieve? Who do we serve in that job? What is our purpose in that? And so Ephesians chapter 6 brings this to perfect light. In verse 5 it says, "Slaves," that's servants, I guess, "be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ, not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ," okay, servants of Christ, "doing the will of God from the heart, with good will render service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free." There you go. Who do we work for? We work for the Lord. Granted, sometimes that's not easy to remember. For me, it is. Sometimes I don't work in an office anymore. I don't have coworkers that I'm across the desk from. I work from my home, but I've been there. And that's why I'm so thankful that the Lord took me out of that. But we work for the Lord. We serve the Lord. And so this should come out in our performance too as well, brethren. You know, whatever we do heartily for the Lord. I remember Mr. Toole saying, you know, he met this guy that he had seen him maybe in the coffee shop and was getting to know this guy fairly well, and he found out that you were a Christian. He said, "I knew it. I knew you were a Christian." And it's because not just our performance in our job, but in everything we do. You know, that should be our experiences. Like, I knew there was something about you. If someone says that to you, great job, right? We should be the best workers in our job. We should be the best workers in our departments and whatever we're doing. Whatever, meaningful, whatever, however it's viewed, we should be the best at it, because we don't serve that boss. We serve the boss. And that's what Paul's getting at here. Whatever we do and how we do it, it's for the Lord. Right? And we've got some great examples. Remember Daniel and his friends? They were recognized as right off as being people that need to be in certain places, right? Remember Nehemiah, cupbearer to the king, right? And how Nehemiah always had a great attitude, right? He was a great servant to the king. Until all of a sudden, you know, there was great sorrow, and it was obvious in Nehemiah's countenance because the king was like, "What's wrong?" Like that wasn't ordinary for Nehemiah. He always had a good attitude, and he was always the type of servant that the king wanted around. So much so that the king was like, "Oh, what's up with you? What's going on, Nehemiah?" Right? Because he always had a great attitude. When he didn't, the king noticed. Okay? Well, what came from that? He had favor in the king's eyes, right? And so the restoration of the walls of Jerusalem, okay? Because he found favor in the king. We should be that employee who everyone wants because we're serving the Lord. And so be the best workers that we can possibly be. It's not our life's focus, as I brought out, but it's the work that we do for the Lord. Our focus is the kingdom. Okay, but it's definitely things that as we will look at, is it's scriptural to be good workers. And so, again, there are good bosses, there are bad bosses, right? If you're a boss, be a good boss. It just helps situations. Either way, it doesn't matter. Sometimes, you know, we have we play mind games a little bit. I catch myself doing this. I have a good boss or a bad boss, it doesn't matter. I've had both. But, you know, if I have a good boss and maybe he had an attitude towards me that day, or maybe he said something that put me off and he asked me to do something. Because sometimes the tendency is, I'm not going to work hard at that after he just said to me what he just said. How dare he? Is that right, brethren? That's wrong. That's him treating you bad. Him treating me bad is his problem, not mine. And sometimes if we had bad bosses, whoa, like, that guy isn't going to get my best. No way. I'm going to do the absolute minimum because he's a jerk and he doesn't deserve my best. Right? Do we play mind games like that sometimes? I've caught myself doing that. We work for the Lord. We work heartily as for the Lord. And sometimes, you know, sometimes our attitudes can get off as well. I've been in this situation too, where I've just had been in a job that I didn't really want, but it's a job that I have and that I knew I could do well at, but it wasn't what I wanted to be doing. And so my approach to that or my perspective of that was just, it's kind of meaningless. This doesn't really mean anything, you know. I'm digging a ditch. I'm ripping this lumber down. I'm demoing this structure, or, you know, I'm digging holes, whatever. And it's, you know, sometimes our attitude can be bad because we're not doing exactly what we want to do. We got to remember, brethren, we're serving, who we're serving and who we're working for. And so Paul's reminder of that is here. And so we have to approach every day the same way. How can I bring glory to the Lord in my work today? That has to be the focus each day when we go out. Some days it's easier than others, but that has to be our focus. And Paul's reminding us that we are servants of Christ. And so whether we're engineers, salesmen, burger flippers, or burger eaters, that has to be our perspective, is how can I glorify God in what I'm doing today? Okay? Let's turn to John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, and in this, I want to talk about preachers out there, preachers that are out in religiosity. Okay? Quote, I'm holding the bunny ears up, preachers. Okay? A lot of preachers out there, they preach to earn a living. Right? A lot of preachers out there are preaching and earning a living, then they're preaching what they're preaching because they were told to preach that by a board of directors sometimes. Okay, somebody that hired them. And so in John chapter 10, we get a picture here. That's very, very important. in Jesus' teaching here. He says in verse 11 of John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and he leaves. He leaves the sheep and he flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. A lot of times you see this out there in religiosity. You hear about someone's pastor left, right? Or the youth minister left. They were following their calling, right? And they went to a different congregation. They didn't follow their calling. They got a different, better offer. They got more money, right? They got better benefits or whatever. The grass is greener, right? They're hirelings. And brethren, Jesus doesn't want hirelings for his church. He doesn't want people that are hired and fired as preachers. Right? He wants people that are not going to run when the wolves show up. He wants people that aren't going to necessarily preach the health, wealth, and happiness message that the board tells them to preach. Right? They're going to preach truth. And it's without a focus on their wallet. Okay? He wants people teaching and preaching God, his truth, his words, and helping people get to heaven. Okay, we are servants of Christ. Hirelings are focused on the work that they're given by a board of directors. Okay? And so we answer directly to the Lord here in the local congregation. We answer directly to God. We are responsible to him as individuals and as a congregation. Okay? Leadership is responsible to the Lord, directly to the Lord. Okay? It's great for people to ask questions. Well, why do we do this? You know, to think outside the box. That's great. To discuss. Maybe we should do this, or how about this? Those are great things to do. You know, to ask questions. Okay, but you can't pressure Mr. Tool on doing what you want him to do. Okay, you can't pressure him because he works for God. You can't pressure leadership we should do things this way because leadership answers directly to the Lord. Okay? They're not hirelings. Servants of Christ, he says. Okay? So stewards of the mysteries of God then. Steward then is brought up occasionally. Was a great stewardship message this morning. The Greek word is okonomos. Okonomos. It means literally an under oarsman, right? Or a subordinate. Okay, I'm not the owner of the boat, but I power the boat. Okay. Is it another way of putting it as a manager of a household, right? And so there's no ownership there, but there's responsibility given from the owner. Okay. And so good examples of good stewards in the scriptures. Remember Joseph? Joseph was a great steward, wasn't he? His brothers didn't like him much, so they sold him. That's odd, but they sold him, got rid of him, right? Where does he end up? He ends up in Egypt, right? Sold to Potiphar. What does Potiphar do? After a certain amount of time with Joseph, what does he do? He puts Joseph as the head of his household, right? Because he showed himself worthy of that. And has, you know, through great attitude and work ethic, because Joseph served God, right? He made him steward of all that he owned. You know, I like to, I tell Zoe, that means he gave him all of his credit cards and said, here you go. He had control of everything, right? He was a steward of Potiphar's house. It was not his house. It was Potiphar's house. But he was the manager of the house. And so we have to be good stewards as well, good managers of the blessings that God gives us. And so it was brought out already. Good managers. Was that Joseph's house? No, it was Potiphar's, but he managed it well. Okay? And so that led to a bunch of other things we don't have time. Oh, man, I was going to get us out of early. Guess. Sorry, Mr. Tool. So in stewardship, then, how about our jobs and our money? We had an excellent stewardship this morning. Whose money is it? Is it my money? Doesn't God give us the talents, as we mentioned earlier? Didn't those come from God? He's appointed those gifts, those talents. And so we have to remember that when we're doing that, we're doing it for God. We're serving God. It's His money, not ours. We work for Him. It's the Lord's money to begin with, right? He's just giving the opportunity to take care of the things that we need to, and He's given us those talents for that reason. It's important, an important stewardship, right? We do have responsibilities and things that we have to take care of. It was brought out this morning as well, 1 Timothy 5 and 8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Right? So we have those responsibilities, and so we can't shirk those. How about parenting? We have a parenting stewardship, right, for those of us that are parents. You know, when I teach my child how to act properly, what? Hold on. Did I just say my child? I did. It's not my child, it's his child. It's God's child. Children are a blessing from God, right, Zoe? Children are a blessing from God. I'm a steward of her. That's God's child. And it's definitely true in Zoe's case, for sure. God's child. It's my steward, it's our stewardship to raise her properly in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That's my responsibility as the steward that God has granted me. Okay, it's a big responsibility. Some people's kids are just horrible, all right? Like, how did they get that way? You ever see, like, this kid just going berserk, and we don't go to Walmart, but that's the example often used. How do they get that way? It's because the parents. It's because things get hard. Is it hard being a parent? Yeah. Hey, the people, those kids are acting that way because their parents gave up. They gave up on the stewardship that God gave them, and it became too much work. It was selfishness, actually, is why the kids are like that. Selfishness on mom and dad's part. Okay, we have to be good stewards of His children, God's children. That's the stewardship that we've been given. We can't get lazy and selfish, right? We can't. Not as God's stewards. As stewards, though, here's another thing: we have to give an account. We have to give an account as to our stewardship. How good of managers were we with the blessings that we've been given? How about the Lord's body? Are we good stewards of the Lord's body? Do we uphold the truth? Are we pillars in support of the truth? How are we doing with that stewardship? And so these are all important things that Paul's bringing out. You know, we'll finish in back where we started in chapter 4. He says, "Let man regard us in this manner as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." And so we have to not just be pillars in support of the truth, we have to be good stewards of that. Good management. Do we rightfully divide the word of truth? When we're talking with people, do we uphold God's word or do we make exceptions? Yeah, come on to our church. It doesn't matter if you did X, Y, and Z. Come on in. Wait, whose church is it? It's His church. We do it His way. And so that's all part of being good stewards as well. And so, brethren, I just want to remind us that we've been given these things for a purpose, and it's not our purpose, it's His. And we've been called to be servants. If we are going to be Christians, let's be true Christians, the followers of Christ. That means serving Him and His needs, not ours. And let's be good stewards of everything that He's been given, because let's face it, what do we have that we weren't given by Him? All right? All right, let's have a quick word of prayer. Father God, we are grateful to You for all that You have given us. We're grateful for the opportunities that we have in this physical experience that we're having. And I just pray that You be with each one of us and help us to be good servants. Help us to be good stewards of all that You have given us. And help us to be those servants of Christ that You created us to be. I thank You and praise You in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks, everyone.